Welcome to the Carly Pilk Boys podcast. I'm David Ferrier.
Stephen Merchant.
We are listening to Series 2, Episode 23 today. Zach, who's over Zoom, we'll get to that in just a sec. What is your Heat Magazine headline for this episode?
Well, the third week in a row, I don't even remember what it is, to be completely honest. Did we just witness the birth of Monkey News? and I have listened to it twice.
Awesome. Someone has suggested that we need to go back and you need to listen to the two that you missed, and we just need to do a special bonus episode because, as they pointed out, you missed a lot of good stuff. So we might have to go back and do that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I realized when you're kind of talking about it, taking me through it, I was like, oh, sounds like there's some good stories here. But I'm positive I listened to the right one this week, and I even went back and listened again because by this stage it had been almost a month since I listened to it. So I'm like, I probably should go listen again.
So the reaction to last week's episode, where if you missed it more than halfway through, Zach realized that he had yet again listened to the wrong episode, second week in a row. The feedback, not too bad, except this comment. Surely between two people, you can coordinate to listen to the same episode each week. This is Carl's I didn't write down the answer when taking listener quiz questions level of shambles. You're absolutely correct.
It is. We can't hide from that. It's a humiliating level of shambles, to be honest. It's not even like, there's like a funny level of shambles, and then there's like, okay, well, this just isn't functioning anymore. Like, this is becoming problematic.
There's playful shambles and there's true incompetence shambles. And we have strayed into that.
I do feel like, which we will get into, like, I do feel like there's some mitigating circumstances, which you might be able to pick up from the Zoom and maybe from my nasally voice.
Yeah. Well, before we get into that, this episode was broadcast January 25, 2003. There was a new number one song in the UK charts this week. It was David Sneddon's debut single, Stop Living the Lie. She stands alone in a place where no one knows. Zach, this was one of those, you remember where you were when David Sneddon's first single was released. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't. I like to think I'm pretty across a lot of, like, UK pop culture and, you know, entertainment. David Sneddon's gone past me. Maybe it is because reality singing shows are a blind spot for me. Have you ever heard that song?
I haven't heard that before, and I don't want to offend any Sneedies out there, which I imagine is what the Sneddon fans called themselves, but David Sneddon also just sounds like a made-up name. Like, it sounds like a musician out of a movie.
It sounds like the name of one of the people who get in touch that Steve keeps awarding the prizes to. Just like a slightly amusing name.
It sounds like the teacher from School of Rock. What is it? Ned Sneedley? Sneedley?
Sounds like someone Carl grew up with. Sneddon. What do you think his fans are called?
Sneedies.
Any Sneedies out there? Any Snedheads? Hit us up. What are we missing? Also, movies released the day before this show. Some good ones. About Schmidt. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, man. I'm blanking on the director's name. But it's really, really, really good. Anyway, that's boring just to say it's really good. Ghost Ship, I Spy, and The Pianist.
I don't know if I've seen any of those. Maybe I Spy. Well, what's I Spy?
I Spy is Eddie Murphy and Owen Wilson.
Yes, I think I saw that.
Yeah, he has the contact lens where they can see themselves in each other's eyes. The Pianist, another Academy Award winner, directed by the guy who fled the US because he did inappropriate things with that 13-year-old. What's his name? You know, your favorite guy. The guy you won't shut up about. And how it was a different time.
I did not say. I feel like Mr. Burns when he's on that radio show. None of these sounds are coming from me.
I don't remember that episode.
You know, he's on a local radio show and they keep playing fart sound effects.
Oh, that's right.
And he has to alert the listeners that he's not making these sounds.
Mad world, don't it?
Let's get into some business. So the reason we're over Zoom, and we might have swapped out the shambles of not listening to the correct episode for just a little bit of shambles that comes in when you're recording remotely over Zoom, a little bit of awkwardness, a little bit of talking over one another. So Zach, why are you sick?
Well, I don't. That's sorry. A bit more existential. I'm not sure where it came from.
Sorry, Zach. Why are you over Zoom right now?
Well, yeah, because I'm sick. I just said to Dave, last time we recorded was 10 days ago. We did build up a little bit of a buffer in case one of us got sick, but I'm now crossing over the buffer. So 10 days ago was the last time we recorded. I've been sick since then. The day we recorded last time was 3 days late because my toddler had been sick that week and I hadn't been looking after her. So we're now, I think in the last month, we've had maybe a week of not sickness in my house. And so this is the first time I've been down though. Previously, I've just been looking after my toddler and my wife, but now it's got me.
It's been relentless, hey? Like you were telling me your wife, the reason that we recorded late last week is because your wife got sick and now she's gotten even like sick again.
I know, they don't know what's going on. Like they don't know if the virus turned into something else, if it morphed. Another option is they're like, because it's not COVID, it's adeno, never heard of it, A-D-E-N-O virus. And, but they said it might, maybe she also got COVID since the start of it. We don't know. So we're waiting test results. But I was saying to you, like when you're a parent, you learn all these things. I'm sure how across are you the different viruses out there? Because before I was a parent, it was just either you had the cold or you did it. And now I'm like, is it rhinovirus? Yeah. Is it COVID? Is it adeno? Is it hand, foot and mouth? What are we talking about here?
That's true. Like before COVID, certainly it was, well, I get the cold once or twice in a year. If you're really unlucky, you get a flu. If you're even unluckier than that, you get pneumonia. And the other scary one was glandular fever. So there were like five things that you could get growing up. But yeah. You're saying that since becoming a parent, you've learned that there's actually an encyclopedia of different colds and flus.
And parents love talking about it. It's like Pokemon cards. You remember when you're in year four and you're like saying, which ones do you have? What have you had? And it's like, oh, have you had hand, foot and mouth yet? Oh, that's going to get you. Have you had strep throat yet? Oh, it's coming. And I think last year, because my baby started daycare last year, but for some reason, maybe I think it was just towards the end of winter, maybe like we missed it. And so I was like, everyone was like, once they start daycare, you're in for it. And I thought, nah, it's fine. And then this year, whoa. I honestly don't know how some parents get through winter. Like if you had a couple of kids, like Sarah was out of sick leave in like, within the first few weeks of winter. And so like, yeah, I don't know how people do it.
So going to childcare is like going to like a Pokemon Go meetup.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of people.
Trading cards.
And you got to catch them all.
Well, apparently it wasn't a good, Sarah went to the pharmacy last week to get something and she saw one of the like educators from the daycare in the line. And she's like, ooh, that can't be good. Like, they both kind of pretended they didn't see each other because it's like they might have been like, oh, who are you picking up for? Hopefully it's for yourself and not for your kid, or else your kid shouldn't be coming to daycare. And equally, Sarah's like, what? Why are you picking stuff up? You shouldn't be going to daycare if you're sick. So,
did she spy what she was? Was she at the prescription counter?
I don't know. You're not meant to look, are you? Isn't that a... Well, you don't
someone you know.
You don't like nudge up to them. Like, what is it? What are you in for?
Oh, some kind of fungus cream.
But it's pretty, I've heard something like, oh, did you tell me this? Someone told me 2% of Australians are now at home sick.
I did read that headline. And there's currently like nurses going on strike because like it's just
too
really
much.
Hectic trying to get through just each day working in a hospital and everyone's going into isolation. And yeah, it seems like you guys have been, it's been a rough winter. It's been a rough flu season at the Mander household.
Well, that's, I think, the thing about when, remember when everyone was like, when COVID first came around and everyone's like, it's just the flu. Yeah. Like, had those people had the flu? Because, like, the flu's not mucking around. Like, I think people call a cold the flu. The flu's, like, pretty legit.
Mm. Well, Zach, you might have noticed also that I am standing up, and that's because you're not the only one with medical issues going on at the moment. I earlier this week thought I had bruised my tailbone, just like at the gym or something, yeah, doing some aggressive sit-ups, as I am wont to do. But it kept getting more painful, and it turns out I had an infected cyst just below my tailbone.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Pork chop. They went in there and they pulled out a big bone.
Sadly not. An infected cyst that then ruptured last night. So
that's one of the most disgusting sentences I've ever heard.
Yeah. It really was. I actually managed to get into a doctor. It burst yesterday afternoon, and my girlfriend coincidentally had booked an appointment last minute at like a place that was open on a Sunday. And so we did the thing. I was so nervous that this wasn't going to work, where I just went in with her. And then when she had finished her thing, I went, hey, just before we go, can I ask a piece of, you know, a word of advice? This was, we were the last patient of the day, by the way. So she was like, the doctor's wanting to get out of there. And I said, like, I've just got this thing on my tailbone and it's burst and there's a lot of like pus and blood coming out of it. And she just was like, stand up, show me. And I was sitting next to Brooke just in the office. I was like, oh, just like now? She's like, yeah, stand up, turn around, show me. So I had to like stand up just at the, like we were having an interview or something, and asked Brooke to like look away. And I had to like pull my pants down. And the doctor was going, oh no, and she had to clean it up and take a sample. And then on our way out, she joked, that was the last thing I'm going to see today. And I went, well, you're welcome, see you later.
And is that why you're meant to be in Sydney at the moment? Is that why you couldn't travel?
I couldn't face the prospect of sitting in a plane seat even for an hour. It would just been too painful. It's been like hideous.
You and Brooke have been together for a bit over a year now. Are you not up to our cyst level?
I am up to the level. We are up to the level of, that's an interesting question. At what, like, you know, when do you know you've reached a new level in your relationship? I can tell you, I spent some time on the floor in the office where I'm recording now. There's like a floor to ceiling mirror. On the floor, on my side, with my pants down, lifting up a butt cheek and with a phone in the other hand, looking in the mirror to try to get a nice clear photo of it to work out if it was a bruise or something else. I then were at the level where I felt it was okay to then just like crop the photo, cut out the butthole. She doesn't need to see that. No one needs to see that. But I had then had like a little frame showing like what it was. And I was like tracking, I've been tracking it day by day going like, look how much it's changed.
Wow.
So she's a lucky girl.
Wow.
And I am now I'm on antibiotics and painkillers. So, and things are like, that's the cruel thing. I had to cancel I got up super early to decide if I was going to go to Sydney or not. But I was like, I just can't do it. It hurts too much. There's still just like stuff coming out of it. But because I'm on antibiotics and painkillers and it's now burst, it should heal up pretty quickly. And, you know, Zach, I do feel like I have something of a greater understanding now for what it's like to have a period now that my ass crack has exploded. And
you know, those aren't the same thing, right?
What do you mean?
I'm not sure what your understanding is, but
once a month, when the moon is full, a lady's butt explodes. What's the problem?
I feel for you. That's it's a scary situation to not know what's going on in the old ass area.
I'll share some of those photos that I took to our Patreon.
Please.
my busted pussy butt crack.
What level Yuck! Do you have to be on Patreon to get those?
That's for executive producer and above. Speaking of which, we have a few new EPs to thank. Amber, Cassie, and Adam. If you sign up to the EP level, we'll give you a radio-style nickname like they do on this show, but also if you were to be a part of a breakfast radio show here in Australia, they might give you a wacky nickname. We have workshopped a couple. We've come up with one each, and we've got to land on a nickname for all three of these lovely people. So for Amber Forbes, what did you come up with?
Richie.
Amber Richie Forbes. Why?
Forbes top 100. Oh, you have to be rich to be on it. Richie. Also, I was thinking that if Amber did a radio show, you could do something with the Forbes top 100. Counting down.
Forbes on Forbes.
The richest hits.
Hey, Amber, you're a loyal listener and we love and appreciate you. You should start a podcast about like the Forbes rich list.
Hmm. And it's always great to start a creative endeavor based on a play on your name.
That's how all great ideas start with the name first. That's what Carl has taught
You've
us.
Also pitched previously, didn't you want me to do Zach's Mandarins?
Yeah, that's good TikTok content. Like that. No, Zach teaches Mandarin while eating mandarins while No, there wasn't a third one. That's better than my one. Mine was Amber Heard Forbes. Amber Heard Forbes. The Heard. Next one, Cassie.
It's kind of good because it's like Heard is double play on like there's a, you listening. Did you hear it? Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah. All right, maybe it's not as terrible as I thought. No, it is. Okay. Cassie Wilcox. I thought Cassie made me think of Casino, so I went Cassie Vegas Wilcox.
Vegas is, that's a good radio nickname. I went Dish.
Why?
Cassie, casserole, dish. And because I thought like you can be dishing out the gossip or dishing out the news or dishing out, you know, the laughs.
Can we make it Cassie the Dish Wilcox? And finally,
get in the dish,
Adam.
Because when do you say that? Don't you say that when you're like having spill the dish or something like that?
Yeah, saying? No, saying like dish gossip. Come on, dish.
Yeah.
And finally, Adam Howes. I went with Adam Knows Howes because he knows Howes.
That's what Adam's like. If he had like a handyman business, that's what it'd be called. No Howes. I went with Mr. Cricket.
Explain.
Because I had how's that, Cricket, Mr. Cricket.
Oh, what about Adam, how's that, how's?
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. All right.
Or not out.
Adam, not out, how's?
I feel like I'm always taking them one too far. You always seem to like the middle one.
What about Adam, how's that, not out, how's? That's catchy. Yeah. All right, thank you to our new executive producers, Amber Richie Forbes, Cassie the Dish Wilcox, and Adam Howsat, not out, house. Please check out the Patreon. Also, the competition's still running. Get a signed print of the Carl's Childhood drawing. Okay, the Air Check Series 2, Episode 23, Break 1. Strong start to the show, Zach, I thought. Carl's given a genius scenario. A problem that he would need to solve, a hypothetical. He runs a restaurant. An old man's gotten a boner, so he's stuck in a booth at a restaurant. So what does he do?
He said, I'd use the situation. I'd make cash. I said, you're not going anywhere. Do you want a pudding?
Smart.
Classic rookie situation. He loves anything that involves like an erection or What's the drug called that you take to get an erection?
Viagra.
That's right. I was thinking of Valium.
Yeah.
I just said situation. And
took a long time to pretend like I don't know what it is.
One in your head, you're like one, two, three, four. Yeah, that's enough.
Don't answer too quickly.
you know, sometimes we go in and out of this, but like Ricky's kind of like 13-year-old boy comes out. And but he fluctuates between that and like the guy who was in The Office. Like a more like kind of a more sophisticated performer.
Yeah, from being utterly juvenile and enjoying that more than anything else, but then also like correcting Carl and like teaching him, like tell, like revealing how much knowledge that Ricky has, like that he is an intelligent person, and sometimes even being the voice of reason. He's got a lot going for him, that Ricky Gervais. He does make a great point that at no point with the, at this dinner with Carl did Carl say like, Ricky, why are you being so mental asking me these ridiculous hypotheticals?
I totally disagree. I think it's so unfair of Ricky. You can't play both. He tries to play both sides here. So he tries to get humor out of being ridiculously immature and childish. Then he also tries to get humor out of, no, I'm the adult here. You went with it. You shouldn't go with it. You should be an adult. And it's like, no, you can't. It's like he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. If Carl doesn't play along, then Ricky, you know, he's like, oh, you're no fun. Oh, what, you think you're too old for this? And then if he does play along, he's like, do you get what I mean? I was like, oh, you're kind of double dipping there, Ricky.
I think if he were to try something like that with Steve, and maybe he did in their earlier days of their relationship, that is the response he would have gotten. He would have got someone
used to getting that response,
you know.
And then because Carl is like, I guess Carl's great gift is that he just takes everything at face value. Like he won't question it. He's like, this is the task I have at hand.
Yeah.
I need to sort out this problem.
Carl tells the story of the woman who had her head taken off to have bits chipped off just to make it lighter. I did a little bit of research to try to find out what the F he was on about. If there was some real story out there, but surprise surprise, if you Google woman head removed to make it lighter, woman in skull chipped off to make light, it didn't really lead me to any positive places.
You know what we should do? I reckon we should chart Ricky's reactions on a scale of like tickled, like kind of tickles his fancy, to irate. And I think this is a common one, is when he yells, play the song angrily. And that's towards the top of the chart where like some things Carl says that are ridiculous, he likes. Some he finds hilarious as we go up the level. But we get to a point where it crosses over hilarious and crosses into makes him angry. And this is one that did that. He just is like, play the song. Play the song.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. He just wants the conversation to end. He wants the show to just move on. That's an interesting idea. Let's do that. Let's like come up with some sort of scale, some sort of way to rate the reactions that we can use, and we can ask each other where on the Ricky reaction scale this one sits.
Yes.
In break two, Carl is asked about war, and he's not asked about war. He just says that like he wants nothing to do with decision making around war or even having opinions on it.
I don't want to get into that.
Fair enough. Doesn't want to get into war.
But as if they were going to get a call or on XFM on a Sunday afternoon from like the National Cabinet.
Put Carl on. Carl, Iraq's kicking off. What do we do?
I don't want to get into that.
Then he goes into the story of his cranky dad complaining about costs, not wanting to come to London, not wanting to go on the London Eye because it's too expensive. Have you been on the London Eye?
I haven't.
I have. It was good. I went on the one in, you know, we've got our own, we've got the Brisbane Eye. Have you ever been on that?
I have. The Wheel of Brisbane.
I've been on it twice, Zach.
It's much, much smaller.
Yeah.
More of just like a traditional Ferris wheel, really.
The London Eye, you can walk around in there and like, you know, go see the full sights. In the Brisbane one, you are crammed in. Four people maximum.
And you can't really, this doesn't really increase like the things you can see very much. I imagine in the London one, like you can see quite a lot of, it's like instead of walking around to five different landmarks, let's go on the London Eye and we can cross them all off in one. Whereas the Brisbane one, it's like, well, we can see the river at a slightly higher elevation.
But also no disrespect to the beautiful city that we live in. If you're in the London Eye, it's like, well, there's the Globe Theatre where, like, you know, that's where Shakespeare, you heard of him? There's the Parliament Houses, there's Tower Bridge, there's all these historical sites in Brisbane. It's
hey.
There's Stephen's Needle. There's Mount Cutha.
Excuse me, gifted a sky needle gifted to us by an eccentric hairdresser in the 80s. I think that is something people need to see.
Do you think anyone has ever traveled to see Stephen's Needle?
I hope so. It's my favorite thing in the city. I've met Stephen. Do you know that?
No. What was that like?
I interviewed him. This was an eccentric hairdresser turned like a raceboat driver.
Wow.
Turned kind of businessman. And he had like this like big warehouse on the Gold Coast. In like bright pink things, like his boat was famously bright pink, and so like he has a golf buggy that's bright pink, and he like drives around. This was in late 2016. It was just before the 2016 election in America, and he had pictures on his wall of him with all these famous people, and there's a picture of him with Trump, and I remember thinking like hey, look, Donald Trump, and we're making conversations about imagine if he became president. Anyway, he was kind of like, in a way, we would joke that he's like a Bond villain, Stefan. Like, he's kind of got a lair, he's got a speedboat, he's got a landmark.
But he's also like, he's quite flamboyant and flashy. Like you mentioned the hot pink speedboat, and he's got like a little bit of, does he have a bit of the Trumps about him? Like a bit of a bigot, like insofar as, maybe like there's a better equivalent, but just someone with a big personality and, you know, seems a bit larger than life.
Yeah, he gave us, we interviewed him for the radio because we made it this big thing that we were doing a Brisbane radio show at the time, and we made it this big thing that he was going to be, we needed his blessing to be an official Brisbane radio show because he was kind of like this de facto
King of Brisbane.
And he didn't know any of that. We just said, can we interview? And he said, yeah, come down to my boat shed or my lair. And he gave us all a bottle of wine for doing this like 10-minute interview. I was like, oh, thanks, man.
Wow.
I said, the Sky Needle's enough. That was a big enough gift to the city. You don't have to give me anything else.
I should be giving you a gift. Where were we up to? That's right. So that the London Eye, I looked up how much it cost. It's £36 if you just show up and pay then.
Is that like 50 Australian dollars?
$63 Australian.
That is awful.
For one person. It's like $20 to go on the Wheel of Brisbane. So
that's probably why I didn't go on when I was in London.
And
then, I kind of like, I'm more of a like, oh yeah, I saw it. We can keep going.
We then get into Carl's dad's rage against that furniture company that ripped him off. So he came up with the genius idea of charging them rent to keep their catalogue in his house. I always thought that Carl sounds a little bit proud when he's retelling this story, or that he thinks his dad is really, you know,
he thinks
really
it's a great
it
idea.
To him.
It reminded me of the logic when people post on Facebook that they don't give Facebook permission to use their photos.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know how people do those paragraphs from midnight to night. Facebook's policies are changing. I do not give Mark Zuckerberg Incorporated permission to use my photos. And like they think they're being really smart, but it's like, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
That's not how it works. Wearing a t-shirt with a logo on it. They should be paying me to be advertising their brand.
You know, Judd Apatow on his Instagram uploaded like one of those permission things, like I don't give Instagram permission to use my content. And that's when you're kind of reminded like, oh yeah, some of these people are just like old men. Like, why would he know anything more about the internet than like my dad does or your dad does?
The 40-year-old virgin himself. Anyway, well, if it can happen to Judd Apatow, it can happen to any of us. So,
oh, by the way,
stay woke, everyone.
I know that is coming for us. There's no escaping it. When we're 50 and 60, the 30-year-olds are going to be laughing at us at the things that they'll be like, oh, they uploaded their consciousness to the cloud.
Everyone knows you don't do that. That's so. I knew uploading your consciousness to the cloud was over when my parents started doing it. I feel like I'm staying relatively relevant, or if I fear that I'm drifting too far behind, I have you as a source because you are very active on TikTok.
But that's the only thing I have. And even on TikTok, I don't know what people are talking about. I got all these comments today that I have no idea what they mean. I was Googling them. I'm like, are they supportive or not supportive?
Aren't you one of the oldest people on TikTok and you're only like 30?
Well, that's the funny thing, because the algorithm learns what you... I don't see any... Like, the videos I see are all people who are 30. Like, I don't see any young people. So to me, I'm like, TikTok's a thing that 30-year-olds use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to hold out until I can upload my consciousness to the cloud. So I can upload my consciousness to a Tesla and just go drive it.
That's definitely going to happen.
What's
That's
up, gonna guys? Be a thing. Zach and Dave, still doing the Carly Cook Boys. I'm a car now. Zach?
Beep, I'm going to be cool.
My famous catchphrase, beep, beep, toot, toot.
You hear what happened to Dave? He got stolen.
Help! Someone come and get me. They've disabled autopilot. I'm trapped in a backyard on blocks. I've lost all my wheels. Toot, toot, beep, beep. That's car for help. I've been saying it this whole time. You thought it was just a fun thing, but I've been crying for help this whole time. This was a terrible decision.
You'd still be doing the podcast, though. Yeah.
Well, because I have great features, because I'm a highly sophisticated car. Break three, Steve revisits what Carl thought of him when he first saw Steve, leading into Steve revealing that he is, well, not that he is one of the 50 most eligible bachelors, but just that he thinks he will make the list for Company Magazine's 50 Most Eligible Bachelors. And then he details what the prize is.
This year, I'm rather annoyed because all I'm going to win is a moped. That's the prize this year, a moped.
Whoa, backtrack. What? Sorry? Last year was a 2-week trip to Bahamas, and this year
just
what?
A moped. All I'm going to get is
all
a moped.
All you're going to win is a moped. You've got no chance.
I couldn't find if he made that list in the end, Zach, but jump 12 years later to 2015, Steve is still a bachelor, and he was on the list of Glamour magazine's most eligible bachelors. It wasn't numbered. It was just a non-sequential list of eligible bachelors, and included was, alongside Leonardo DiCaprio and Timothy Chalamet and the like, probably not Timothy Chalamet, he's probably too young at that point. Anyway. You know, some high flyers. Was Stephen Merchant. I kind of just revealed that I find Timothy Chalamet very attractive.
Nothing wrong with that.
Because he would be on my list. That's for sure. So on the list is Stephen Merchant. Born 1974. Eligible? Why? Ricky Gervais has been loved up for a while now, but his comedy partner hasn't been so fortunate. One thing's for sure, Stephen will have you in stitches. Just be aware that uses what? Oh, just be aware that there's a typo in this thing, that he uses a lot of his unsuccessful dating experiences in his comedy acts. He's done one comedy show. Anyway, first date. Don't be shocked if he takes you to sample some real ale down at his local pub.
I don't think that was actually like an informed article. I think they just thought, where's he from? England. They love going to the pub, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Sample some real ale down at his local pub. That is so arbitrary. That is so... And what do English people do?
Don't you think it's funny too? Like, a bachelor can either be like, oh, he's a bit of a playboy. Like, he can't be kept to one person. But the way they've written that is kind of like he's been unlucky in love. Come on, someone. Come on. Can we find one person to go out with him?
Do him a favor. He's a giant loser, obviously, clearly. I mean.
He's also like, I assume he's had partners, right? Like he just hasn't been married.
He was dating Rose Byrne at one point.
Was he?
I remember. I don't know if that was like they were photographed together.
Yeah.
And he has a long-term partner now. But, yeah, photographed with random people over the years. Ricky was also voted the 22nd most sexy man in the world at one point, as he mentions in that break. So then in break four, we get to I'm going to say last week was alpha, like the alpha version of Monkey News. This week, it's the beta version of Monkey News.
And I thought you could do a regular thing where he's got to come up with a story about an ape or a monkey, and it's called Chimpancy That.
Of course.
So nice to just really get it down. Officially, Monkey News was, well, Carl started telling the Monkey News, but then it was Ricky's idea to formalise it as a segment.
Yeah. And he even does the opener for Chimpancy That, but I imagine that doesn't hang around very long, seeing as it's famously known as Monkey News and not Chimpancy That. Yeah, did they want right. to broaden it? Because, you know, chimpanzee is a species, right? Mm-hmm. So did they want to broaden it just to, like, all kind of... What family are they all in? Are monkeys a family?
The...
Ape and...
Yeah, I actually looked this up the other day, but I've forgotten. It's something like there's... Like, it's not... Like, they're... Well, they're
Primates,
yeah, of course.
Primates.
I was going to say great apes, but they're not all great apes. Yeah, they're all primates. But no, I think it's just that it's meant to be Monkey News. But as Ricky points out, Carl always tells a story about what is most likely a chimpanzee, not a monkey. And the difference I looked up is primarily monkeys have tails.
Uh-huh.
There you go. They then slip into a sort of a White Van Carl spin-off where just asking Carl's advice on a number of issues, and they do that for basically the rest of the show, including what to do about criminal kids in the area. And he reckons back in Carl's day, kids weren't as mental as they are now, going around smashing stuff. Listening to this is 20 years ago, this episode. Like, I kind of want to say the same thing about now compared to 20 years ago.
It's always been said. I was watching, something the other day, but it was about, like, something in the 20s, and they're like, the kids these days aren't what they were like in the 1910s. I'm like, it's just the same thing over and over again.
Was that High School Musical?
It was.
Thought so.
But Carl says that, you know, kids were wilder today. But then he tells a story about smashing someone's window when he was playing a game, which was how high can I throw the rock?
One of the great games.
And then the way that he avoided, I like, this is such a kid thing to do, pretend you're asleep.
I was going to ask, have you ever done anything like that, like the childhood reaction to doing something you know is wrong, but you think, if I just do this, maybe I won't get in trouble or no one will notice?
Well, I had a similar story to Carl in a way where I did throw a rock at a car when I was like 5 years old. We made slingshots, right? Out of like, we watched Dennis the Menace, bad influence on us. And we found sticks that were like Y-shaped, and my mum used to like make clothes. So we had like a little elastic from your pants that go in your pants. And we made these little slingshots, right? And I'm walking from my friend's house to my house, which is a few doors down. And we go past what I now know would have been like just 18-year-old kids sitting outside their car just on the side of the road. And they said, shouldn't you guys be in school? And I said, no, we're in preschool. We're not at school today. And I had a speech impediment and I could hear them repeating it behind me. And like laughing. And that really upset me because I thought they were making fun of me. But now that I know, now that I'm an adult, I think they would have found it cute. And I think they would have been like, oh.
Yeah.
But I thought they were making fun of me.
It would have been and, very adorable.
So me and my friend, I said, let's get him. And so we hid behind this rock.
We got our guns.
We hid behind this rock, which was like 10 meters away, and we picked up pebbles and we started slingshotting them. But our slingshots were so bad that they would just go like 30 centimeters. They just like flopped down in front of us. And so I said, screw this. So I picked up, or maybe my friend did. I forget who did this, but one of us said, screw it. We picked up like, they were like pebbles, and we just started chucking them at the car. And I remember the guy goes, oi, what are you doing? And from there, I just remember black, turn around, sprinting. We sprinted inside my house, and I just remember shutting the door and then collecting everything that we could to barricade the door as if the person was going to like kick it down. So we were like, there was like a little trampoline that we pushed up against it. And I was like, ran to my mom and I'm like, these guys are after me because we threw a rock at their car. And she's like, oh, okay. And she looked out the window and she's like, there's no one out there. So, yeah.
And did you ever run afoul of that gang again? I presume that you continued to live near them. Did it ever come back to haunt
you? I don't know who they were. No, but I heard like later that they, someone in the street said like, what was that car doing that sped up the road the other day? And I was like, well, they're probably trying to avoid the rocks I was throwing at us. But doesn't that show a chip on my shoulder though, doesn't it? Like even from that age, I was like, I jumped to the conclusion that they were making fun of me.
Yeah. Yeah, they touched on a insecurity of yours, and you you reacted with violence. You chose erupted. Violence.
Well, I put it down to Dennis the Menace. Dennis taught us about slingshots. It was a bad influence.
I'm surprised it was Dennis the Menace and not Bart Simpson.
No, I wasn't allowed to watch Simpsons until I was older, until I was like 12.
That's the same with Brooke. She said she was never allowed to watch Simpsons, and I just feel bad.
No, but you don't get it until you're around 12 anyway.
No, but I watched it when I was tiny because I liked Bart and I thought it was silly and funny. And then as I've grown over the years, I've gone back and rewatched episodes and like picked up new jokes every single time.
Well, I became obsessed with it around that age and I watched them all very quickly. So I think I caught up.
Yeah, I would be doing a Simpsons podcast if there weren't already 10,000 of them.
You know, I
have. There's only two XFM shows.
When I was like 13. Actually, you know what? It was in the year 2000 because the Olympics were on. Oh, no, it wasn't. That was something separately. But I was around 12 or 13 and they used to play the Simpsons from 9 to 12 in the morning on this.
Oh, on Foxtel. On Fox 8.
On Foxtel. Yeah.
That was heaven.
It was heaven.
Saturday mornings were never better.
My neighbors and I would watch it every week. And so I started taping them. And so like I have all these tapes of them. And what I'm most interested in, I haven't looked at them in 20 years, but I'm fascinated now if I was to go back and go through those tapes, like the ads, you'd have kind of like news updates. I'm really interested to like what was going on at that time. That's what we could look at. If we ever do a Simpsons podcast, that's what we should look at. That can be a complimentary thing.
Oh, that's our niche angle is we're not just watching The Simpsons, we are watching VHS
tapes
from the TV from Australia in the late 90s, early 2000s. That's an angle. I highly recommend doing that, by the way. Watching old ads is great fun. Like the radio show that I've recently left, we would do a countdown every night from a particular year. And at least one break every countdown would be, all right, it's the year 1991. Let's see what's on TV tonight. And I'd just play an ad that I had found on YouTube just by Googling like 1991 Australian ads. And the best thing is when you get like this week on Home and Away, it's blah, 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 you know. And so can recommend. So Carl Dells tell the story about it smashing the rear window of that guy's car and he pretended to be asleep. And he said his deterrent to misbehaving was fear his dad would go mad and belt him. You've got a child. I assume that's not what modern parenting books suggest. How to make sure your kids are well behaved.
From what I can understand, that's fairly uniformly condemned. I think in a lot of countries, I saw like a map the other day that is illegal in a lot of places in the world now. To like smack your kid.
Yeah. You know, I hesitate to quote Louis C.K., But one of his great bits was that, like, isn't it insane that kids are the most vulnerable people in our society and they're the only ones you're allowed to beat?
Yeah.
It's
Were you smacked?
Crazy. Oh, big time.
Yeah.
You?
I wouldn't say big time, but we were smacked. I don't know what makes it big time.
Well, I'm just thinking that. Maybe I should take that down just to medium time. Because yeah. I had friends that were hit with wooden spoons and that, like, props yeah. were involved. They had their mouth washed out with soap. I never got that. I got
my mouth washed out once.
Oh.
And it wasn't even, I still think it was ill-advised. I think I was innocent. Oh. I was set up.
Oh, my God. The justice system failed you.
This girl came over to my house for like a play date. It was like my mum's friend. And she always used to bite me. Every time she came over, she'd bite me on the arm, like really hard. And so one time, I think I bit her back because I just got like sick of it.
And, you know what?
Like,
come here.
She ran and told her mum. And I'm like, she's been biting me for months. and then my mum's like, nah, we're washing your mouth out. So it wasn't for swearing, it was for biting. But like that was the only biting I ever did. I wasn't a serial biter. I bit once and it was in self-defense.
It was a retaliation. And yeah, that's quite adaptive of your mum to take a punishment that has always been for swearing and using it.
My neighbor was a notorious. He's the one who put me onto The Simpsons. Probably a bad influence. He was... notorious for swearing as a kid, and his family had to change the brand of soap they used because he developed a taste for it.
Oh my God. I remember the moment where I was smacked and I realized it didn't hurt. That was a powerful moment. You know, I cried out in pain, but then I took a moment and I went, hang on, that didn't hurt. And then I turned to my mother and stared her dead in the face and said, you have no power over me anymore.
Did you ever tell her? Because that's a big moment.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, you should keep it to yourself. Any kids
out
there?
But they never do. Kids always yell, didn't hurt. It's smart ass. Keep it to yourself. Like, if they don't know that, then great.
Yeah,
then you're the winner.
Dish it out and you go, oh, no, this is so, oh, God, I'll never do this again to avoid getting a smack. Anyway, let's move on. Because we are talking so much shit. But if you've made it this far, I assume you're with us. Hey, Zach?
I'm enjoying it. I haven't talked to anyone outside the house in a week.
All right, where are we at? The story of Carl's brother Mark, the deal he made with Carl so he could have, quote, a load of women around, was you can have the tractor in the house, your tractor in the house. I never had any deal with that like that with my older brothers.
How great is the story where he says, do you have it? Where he says people kept coming around with babies.
I don't have the grab, sorry, no. But yeah, his parents had to move because so many women kept showing up claiming that Mark was the father of their child. Let's just move.
It's your marks.
This is happening too much. So that means...
But it's amazing too that the responsibility was put on the parents. Like, obviously this woman couldn't get in contact with Mark. And so it's like the next resort is I'm going over to his parents' house, or I guess it's probably his house too, but it's like, you guys need to do something about this.
Hey, grandchild, right here. So there's a lot of Pilkingtons out there.
I know. That's what I'm
thinking.
That
maybe don't know they're related to the great man. You could be listening to this and thought, I never knew who my dad was. And I'm from the north.
And I think Carl's making a lot of good points.
I want to drive a tank to go get a pack of cigarettes. Oh, it's 2022. To go get my vape refilled. Break six. Something is strange. Oh, sorry. Yeah, something is strange when they come back from the song. I think I've got the crab here. I think Steve explains why. No, I don't. I didn't get that one. Whoops. And is that, well, the reason why things are a little bit odd in the studio is because, what was it again? They've come back in the studio and Carl's got bubble wrap taped around his head. So Carl is Last week it was the waste paper bin on the head. This week it's bubble wrap. It's, you know, it's Pandora's box. He's given an inch. Ricky's taken a mile. His body is now Ricky's plaything in a non-sexual way.
You know,
maybe a little in a sexual way. Go on.
Carl and Ricky leave. They're playful together. You never hear about, I was thinking about this because I saw an interview with Steve recently where he spoke about like why he hasn't really worked with Ricky lately. And, you know, he kind of just said, oh, you know, there was nothing that happened. We just explored other areas, grew apart, etc. But I was thinking, I think they came together out of like a convenience originally, or like that it worked out and they made this great show together. But then, like, when you listen to this, they don't seem to have like, they have a great comedy relationship, but it doesn't seem to be much more than that. Whereas Ricky and Carl, although I don't think they're in contact with each other anymore anyway, but they seem a lot more like friends, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like definitely. They play together a lot more.
They spend New Year's Eve together. They do more stuff together. Carl goes on a golf trip with Ricky later. I think you're absolutely right. It's at this stage, it's a few years in and The Office is out now. It's more of a professional relationship with Ricky and Steve.
And I don't think Steve actually finds, this is what makes them a good duo, is that they add different things. But I don't think Steve kind of finds the same things funny. I think he finds the same things funny, but I think he gets over the kind of juvenile stuff quite quickly of like putting bins on people's heads. I think he's like, all right, well, we've got a radio show to do.
Yeah.
But Ricky's like, no, that's why we're here. To do the great
He gets over the stuff that is just Ricky amusing himself to the detriment of the thing that they're all trying to do. But, you know, the innuendo about the word cock, Steve was very much a part of that the whole way through.
Yeah, that's true.
We get into, oh, sorry, yeah, they ask the question, or sorry, Carl reveals the interesting fact, it is against the law for a monkey to have a diary. Learned things every single week on this show. I haven't used that in a while. I forgot about it. Got to bring that back.
You did. You've seen videos before of monkeys in smoking cigarettes, though, haven't you? So,
no. Should I have?
Yes. Those are kind of like, you've seen a black and white image before of a monkey smoking a cigarette, haven't you?
Right now. Monkey.
I don't know the context behind it, but I thought that was like kind of like stock footage that everyone's seen.
Oh my God.
But thinking about it now, it does seem kind of strange. I'm like, why does that monkey have a cigarette?
It's a very good question. Have you seen the video of the orangutan driving a golf buggy?
But
that's one to look up later.
Hey, how far are we through the podcast, by the way? Because my baby's coming home in 15 minutes. Are we going to get it
okay,
done?
Okay, well, our Zoom call is going to kick us off in 3 minutes. So let's wrap things up. We'll definitely be done in time for you to parent when your child comes home. That's a goal we can set for this episode. All right, break 7. Carl asked some great questions, including what would happen if you put a chameleon on a mirror? And then he gets more problems thrown at him. So he's doing like an agony uncle type segment, agony Carl. The guy, they get a text, the guy who wants to be a dancer but doesn't want to, and also doesn't want to be involved in an arranged marriage. I am pretty sure that text is the combination of the plots for Billy Elliot and East is East, both UK films. I think it's a fake text from a real listener. As in
winding him up like that.
Well, maybe not even winding him up, just hoping like if I make this an interesting text, maybe they'll respond. But that is literally the plot of two films that came out around the time of this episode. And Carl's solution to the arranged marriage situation is ever so romantic.
Practical. Well, the first thing, right? I don't think the arranged marriage thing is such a bad idea.
Okay.
Because I think too many people go on looks.
Right.
And then you soon get bored of that. Mm-hmm. And you find out the person who you're knocking about with is actually not your type.
Just go ahead with the arranged marriage.
Well, it's funny that the only thing he thinks people are looking at is looks. If it's not for looks, then it may as well be, it could be anyone. Doesn't bother me.
He then goes on to saying how he wanted to be a dancer and he went to Twiggy's, which is in the drawing. Carl's childhood. Check it out. I looked up Twiggy's Dance Studio in Manchester on Google Maps. It's still there. The reviews aren't great, though. This one, cons, no dancing in that. Pros, loads of toilet paper, which was handy during the lockdown shortage. This one, went there expecting a night of body popping and robotics and was greeted with a warehouse full of toilet rolls, almost as bad as the time me Auntie Nora had win for 5 minutes. One more, felt like a night of body popping and robotics in that, but the fella said it was shut, never went back. And there's more. So the... It is like an infection, being a fan of this show.
That's pretty funny.
It just
funny.
Reaches all parts of the internet. Into break eight, Carl's attitude towards Einstein and science is basically, well, what use is it to me? I looked up, Zach, I don't know how across Einstein you are, but it did make me wonder, like, what does EMC squared actually mean for us day to day?
It's a theory of relativity, isn't it?
Yeah, but... That sentence doesn't mean a lot to me.
Well, I imagine that it kind of forms the basis of like a lot of things.
Here's what the internet told me. When you drive a car, E equals MC squared is at work. As the engine burns gasoline to produce energy in the form of motion, it does so by converting some of the gasoline's mass into energy in accord with Einstein's formula. When you use your MP3 player, E equals MC squared is at work. So that means listening to this podcast is courtesy of E equals MC squared, apparently.
Thanks, Einstein.
Thanks, Einstein.
This is your fault.
If you're looking for someone to blame for what a shambles this is, look no further than
I heard that a part of that was the idea that like our light can bend. So this is a part of like one of his theories, and he came up with it like, I don't know, I'm going to say ages ago. No, in like 1900 or something, but he had to like, he came up with the theory, but there was no way of like observing it. And they had to wait till like a lunar eclipse 50 years later and they could see the light coming around the moon. And that means that it was bending or something like that. And, but the idea was that they had to wait like 50 years for like a practical example.
I wonder.
This is what a documentary told me. I'm realizing now that someone might be like, no, they knew straight away. But I liked the narrative that this documentary painted.
If you can clarify, get in touch. We actually might do another mailbag episode soon. So
I love the idea of like an older man Einstein though pointing and being like, I told you. See?
That is a long time to wait for validation.
Yeah.
Good on you, Einstein. Took Da Vinci 12 years to finish the Mona Lisa's lips. That's not that impressive. Carl starts taking down world figures like Gandhi just because he's... What did he do? He's not easily impressed about stuff like that, about stuff that actually happened, people that actually existed.
Do you know what I find interesting in this? I did think, like, because Ricky and Carl both... Carl and... Ricky and Steve both kind of take like the upper hand here of like the educated people. And I thought like, oh, it's interesting because here they're the educated people ridiculing the uneducated in a way. Or, you know, like, you know, how could you be so daft? But then because we've been watching Hello Ladies, and then which you kind of say is Steve's best work. And then I think we both think that Ricky's best work is like The Office.
Mm. I think The Office is Steve's best work, but...
That's true, that's true. But they're both playing lowly characters who everyone kind of shits on. And isn't it? I kind of prefer when they're the ones who are the ones down the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's when their comedy's better. But then here, it's kind of interesting how they kind of flip roles a little bit.
Yeah. We should maybe bring out the Ricky reaction scale. Like you mentioned earlier, because then Carl goes into his origin of where the name Lego came from, and it's a bad joke that I suspect he has taken seriously. And
yeah, well, I guess
go to the song situation.
Yeah, Ricky can't even entertain that. There's not even I think he's just angry at the lack of any form of critical thinking.
I'm still waiting for that first idiot. I know it's coming. In break nine, another issue. What does he make of, is it okay for a tall woman to date a shorter man? But then going straight into break 10, Rockbusters answers, including one of my favourites, Shake a Can for Shaka Khan. And they end the show by outlining what a disaster it was. Just a recap of all the disastrous things that Carl did in the show, which I thought was ultimately a pretty good one. And now,
yeah,
Zach,
it was pretty strong.
You've had the benefit, the enjoyment of listening to it twice.
Yeah.
So yeah. Next week, series 2, episode 24.
24.
Yeah, do you think you can manage that?
Yeah. I'll write it down.
We have Carl's first appearance in a major Hollywood motion picture. We hear why Carl doesn't like earplugs and a story about a chimp named Crap. That's all next week on the Carly Pilk Boys. Thank you very much to our content director, Robert Jailbird Banks, our fearless leader. He loves the nickname, by the way.
Great.
The Jailbird. You can get in touch, carlypilkboyspod@gmail.com, Instagram, Zach's on TikTok, Patreon, yada, yada, yada. All right. See you, Zach.
Bye.
Don't call me a plonker, you wanker.